This is Mitchell Dye with Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
14 minutes to 10. With me in the studio is our Tuesday producer, who is Alex. Good morning.
Hello.
And did you catch any of the fog or the frost or whatever it was this morning?
Yes, it was 6 degrees before I got out of bed, and it was very much a struggle to come here this morning.
Yes, but you're here, and you've been keeping a keen eye on what people are saying on Twitter. I mean, what are some of the topics that are dominating at the moment?
Obviously, the situation between Russia and Ukraine. There's been a lot of stories about the US and their involvement with the Russia-Ukraine situation, particularly about US dragging Ukraine into the war with Russia. The Guardian posted a story about that, which was a bit of a long but interesting read. There's also a lot about the UN trying to gain full access to the MH17 site this morning, which I guess would be necessary for
the investigation.
Stuff, but it is a very not so secure site at the moment. As well as that, we've got Anna Mears trending, which I don't know if many of you have heard this morning, but she was named the Australian flag bearer for the Commonwealth Games, which is exciting. Her history is that she's won 4 gold medals in the Commonwealth Games and 2 in the Olympic Games, and has a few world titles in the 500-metre sprints.
Yes, and the interesting story behind that was that she almost took out Alexander Downer, and then apparently the flag pole, the bottom of it, dropped out when they were doing the photos or something. So
yeah, you better hope she doesn't do that with the flag. Hey?
Yeah, on Wednesday night, it's got to go a little bit smoother than that. Yeah, exactly.
Practice a little bit.
Anything else? I've seen a few pictures going by of the fog, which everyone's just going out of control with that.
Yeah. Apparently there's a heavy mist over Melbourne right now, and that a lot of flights have been actually delayed or cancelled at Melbourne Tullamarine, so people might want to check out if they're flying out anywhere this morning to a warmer paradise. They might want to check their flights to see that they're still available.
Yes, which most people seem to be coming back at this stage of the year from holidays, but they are saying contact your airline if you want to see what's actually going on, and make sure your flight's actually still on.
Yes. As well as that, yesterday I was at university in my media class, and we had a little bit of an interesting topic to talk about, so I thought I'd just pose it here. There's a program, I don't know if many of you have heard of it, called Lives On, and this generates tweets after you've passed away. So it generates looks at your tweets that you've been posting while you're alive, and then once you've passed away, can keep generating tweets on your behalf. And they have full access to these, and they can post it for as long as they want after you've died. You have to sign up for the program, obviously, and put your name forward and everything. But we were looking at a bit of pros and cons to this, and I wanted to see what you thought.
So what sort of tweets would it actually be posting? What would the content be?
Well, it's based on your likes and on your tweets and, the kind of people that you follow and all that kind of stuff. So it's relatively generalized is what we were saying, but
it's not just syndicating stuff in the past. It's based on current events. So it tries to work out what you might have thought about a situation based on what you'd said in the past.
Yes. And if you had attributed to conversation about this, or looked at any, retweeted anyone else or liked those pages on Twitter, and it's just...
So does it report on conditions where you are?
No, it's just... we're looking at a few pros and cons, and at first it's hard to look at the pros of such a invasive program.
Well, it sounds very
program.
Eerie and creepy to see people posting from the... it's always eerie going onto someone's social media after they've passed away, and it's sort of just left intact there, paused in time.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it would be something that I would want, but what were the main pros coming out of it? Because I am open to new ideas.
Well, after the initial shock of, oh, my God, what is the world coming to?
Yes.
I started thinking about pros, and I think that it actually could be good if you have revolutionary ideals that could be carried on past your death. But the assumption that would be made with this is that as you're the one signing up for the account, that you have to see yourself as a revolutionary person with revolutionary ideas that could be carried about for years after you've died. It also is based on the assumption that those like topics that you are talking about or whatever are still going to be relevant after you've passed away. So it's a little bit of an interesting one. As well as this, it allows people to gain that resonance after they've passed away, like, oh my God, I'm going to be remembered after I die and all that kind of stuff, and leave their like lasting footprint on the world through their tweets that are generated by a robot. So,
and how does this robot actually make money? I mean, I could think of it just dropping in the occasional sponsor message into some of your tweets. Is that what it would do?
I believe you have to pay to sign up as well as that. Yeah, I don't know. There's currently 500 people, I think, that have actually looked onto this and gotten around it, but it's relatively new, I think, and still, like, got a lot of work to do, I would guess, because who knows if Twitter's going to be even a popular broadcast in the future. So,
yeah, well, it means there is life after.
Yeah.
Twitter might be the next MySpace in a few years.
Yeah, you never know.
I still get emails from MySpace incident. They seem to have started up emailing you every week now to try and get you back. It's incredible. But it's like it won't die. But which is an interesting thing to say in light of the conversation that we're having here.
Desperate times.
But Bob Appleton, would you sign up for this sort of service?
No, I don't even Twitter now. So, you know, I wouldn't know which way to bounce for a start. I'm sure that when I get past that dark cloud that's ahead of us and find out the glories of what's before us, then I think that it would be far better for my family and friends to realise, well, he's gone. How do we cover the loss?
Yeah.
Some will say, well, that's no loss, he's gone. Others will say, geez, a big hole in what we do now.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Wasn't there a movie just recently about someone that was put onto a hard drive their entire life and it became some sort of artificially intelligent person based on them, and then that thing proceeded to take over the world or something? I have no clue, honestly.
I'm not a movie buff.
So would you be signing up for this sort of service?
No. To me, it's just, it's not something that I'd be interested in. I don't dispute anyone else if they want to get on it. If you're listening and you want to sign up for Lives On because you believe your words and messages are revolutionary, then go ahead. You do you. But it's not my type of thing. I'd rather my family, like if I die, I'd rather my family just be able to get over it and eventually move on with their lives. And I think about the emotional side of it, that it can mess with people's emotions ability to move on. So,
yeah. You don't think that it could be used for nefarious means to, for example, stir up a revolution within a...
I believe it could, but I'm not that much of a revolutionary person.
No, me neither.
I think we should leave revolutions to living people.
Yes.
Also, it just shows there was a study that Facebook did against people's wishes, which showed the connection between social media and people's emotions, where what they did was they changed a logarithm that determines what posts are shown on people's news feeds, and they thought, well, we're going to hit you with lots of sad posts from people for a day. And then what they did was they looked at what you were actually posting, and they found that when they bombarded you with negative status updates from your friends, your mood went down as a result.
Oh, wow.
So that just shows the ability for social media to mess with people's minds. So to have someone essentially tweeting from the grave, it just seems a bit odd to me.
Yes, definitely.
Particularly when you look at that sort of thing. And also you were saying earlier that you knew the second verse to the Australian National Anthem.
I knew you were about to bring that up. Yes, I do. We had to learn it in my second primary school because I went to two. So it was compulsory to sing the full Australia Events Australia Fair. So.
Without a handbook.
Well, I mean, after the first, it's not that complex. You don't have to wrap it or something like that.
beatboxer? No.
But is it really necessary? But the question there is it really a sign of patriotism to know the full verses of the national anthem, or do we show our patriotism in other ways?
Look, I don't think a song can fully state whether you're
doesn't really,
patriotic.
Really say it, you know. You could get your worst enemy singing that song with a grin on his face as much as I know as much as you do.
I don't have the lyrics tattooed on my body. I don't have the Southern Cross tattooed on my body. Like,
you wear
many
the Australian flag.
No, and I honestly don't even really celebrate Australia Day. I listen to the Triple J countdown and, like, maybe go out into a festival, or my best friend's birthday's on Australia Day, but don't really think
you're
much
you're
about
proud
it.
Of your country, though?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's such a good country.
That's the major thing to have
yes,
in mind.
But yeah. I don't, you know, I don't walk around my house singing Advance Australia Fair. Don't have a flag post with the Australia flag in my front yard. So
yes.
There's definitely more patriotic people than me, but well, I just happen to know the second verse. So.
Yeah, I have been guilty of singing Advance Australia's Fairs because they're always going
that
up.
That works, yes.
Mumbling through that last little bit.
Have you seen the Australian Commonwealth Games team uniform?
Yes, I have. When I first saw it, I thought it looked a little bit like something out of a Dr. Seuss novel.
With the knitted scars.
Yeah.
And how many times do I have to reinvent that uniform, or what? Does it have to be something different every single time?
I believe so. They get a different, I think they get a different Australian
designer
to
yes.
do it every year. So more, I think, because fashion is becoming more quirky throughout the years, that they're trying to like put their little unique design on Australia's uniform to maybe make them stand out more. But yeah, to bring about Australia's fashion as well.
Yes. I mean, I looked at it and I thought, you know, that's a bit off and it seems bizarre. But then a few weeks later, they put up a picture of the Scottish team uniform. I don't know. Did you see that?
No, I haven't.
That is definitely worth it. They've just put another picture of it here on Twitter, and they've got these horrendous coloured. Look at it. Can you see that there? That
listeners are peering through the microphone
they
right
are.
Now.
They are, yes. They can go onto Twitter. It's on the ABC News Twitter account. They've got this disgusting light blue tops. They've got these horrendous coloured. I mean, who comes up with these ideas? It looks horrific. So at least we're not going to be the worst dressed people on Wednesday night for the opening ceremony.
Yes. Lucky.
Yes. Any other issues of the day of any note or anything else that's been happening? I mean, it's all been about the fog and MH17 today,
yeah,
hasn't
definitely.
It?
Yeah, definitely. I think, just as my own little opinion, it's important, like, as much as it is tragic that so many Australians died on the plane, there was a lot more people on the plane, so maybe keep a little bit more open-minded that it wasn't just Australians on the plane, because I think a lot of people have been focused on solely the Australians and not the whole picture that there was human lives that were lost.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I think it was 298 people total. And when you include MH370, I mean, in the last few years, on average, about 500 people have died as a result of aviation incidents and accidents. And now, just in 4 months, one airline has got to that number on their own. So
yes.
That's an incredible toll of human life. And, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But it really wasn't the fault of the airline. That's the sad part.
Well, they're looking into that, I think, this morning, because they were looking at security that they were...
I'm sorry to chop you off mid-sentence. National Radio News is next, and then Wiley Sims from Smartline on The Pulse.